Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
The Mobile Sunbury Motors Studio is in Coralville, Iowa. Yes, the metropolis of the state. No political candidates here. We dodged that one. They're all in South Carolina. Great to have you with us. Penn State will play Iowa tomorrow at noon Eastern time. I'm beginning at 11:30. We will have our picks today. The King did send out his text to us earlier, so we are set to go. Matt has been doing extensive research.
That's exactly right, because I have some catching up to do. I am 15-10. Kevin, 17-8. You are still leading the way, sir, at 18-7.
There you go. Way to go. Yay me.
What is the trophy for first place? That's the real question.
I wouldn't know. Let's get to the big here. We all get to go to Brewers Outlet.
There right? You go.
Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day at the Pickle Bar, led by the barrels and the dills. And a lot of jealousy here in Iowa that we have a Brewers Outlet. Indeed, second to none. All of Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Mobile Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Henry Ruggs last night ran a 4.27. As soon as I saw that, the first person I thought of was Matt Catrillo.
No question.
Guys running 40s in shorts, that's your bag.
Yeah, it was really entertaining last night. Now, the quarterbacks, I thought the first set of quarterbacks didn't do that great in throwing some of the shorter routes, but long balls were good. Second set of quarterbacks did a lot better. But, yeah, the receivers were fun to watch in the 40s, no doubt.
Okay, so now in throwing the football, which, by the way, there's no one consumed with hate on the other side.
No.
Let's remember that part. It certainly does make it easier. So my understanding is that after having a mediocre Senior Bowl, that Jalen Hurts bounced back and actually was pretty good last night.
Yeah, he is. The one thing I look for in quarterback, Steve, when it's basically a practice, a 7-on-7, if that, you don't have the opposition coming at you, I'm looking at footwork and I'm looking at mechanics. That's really the only thing you can look at, because timing, accuracy, it's even in that instance, it's tough to kind of correct these guys on and evaluate these guys on, because you're working with guys that you haven't really worked with before, unless you're working with your teammate, which is, you know, not even a whole lot there. So I thought overall Hurts did look pretty good last night. I thought he looked better than what he did in the combine. So I thought he showed up pretty well last night.
Well, he's determined he wants to be a quarterback. They've talked to him about playing, or at least showing if he could play another position. Some people have been critical for saying no to that. I never will be. I will take the same stance with him as I took with Trace McSorley. You know, you've been a quarterback your entire life. Your entire life you've been a quarterback. So you know what? If you want to go out and you want to show that you're a quarterback, show him you're a quarterback. Right? Then if it does get to a point where there's a line in the sand and you look around and say, okay, you know what? I've got to keep my career alive. Then you go with other options, because he's already shown he could be an athlete. I do not for a second blame him for looking at people and saying, you know what, I'm a quarterback, I'm going to show you I'm a quarterback.
Oh, yeah, I think he is a quarterback. I think he should be a quarterback. He's got the arm, he's got the mechanics, he's got the ability. He just has to be able to be maybe just a little bit more durable, but for me, he's a quarterback.
I don't think he is, but that doesn't matter if I think he is, okay? That doesn't matter. I think it matters that he thinks he is. Contracts. Yeah, you're familiar with this, Buhner.
Absolutely.
Rutgers and Steve Peichel have come to terms on a 2-year contract extension through the 25-26 season. The money is going to be $20 million over the next 6 years. So that's $3 million plus per year for Steve Peichel. Now, bracketology, at the moment, Joe Lenardi has Rutgers as a 10, as a 10 seed. Jerry Palm has them out at the moment. And the reason he has them out, and his logic is simple, that the fewest wins, the fewest road wins to get in, I believe, is 3, and Rutgers has 1. And that is the biggest problem that they have.
Well,
I mean, now, let me tell you what the plus is. Let me tell you the plus for Rutgers. A, their record's really good. Okay? They're really a good team in this particular year. Also, this could be as weak a bubble as you have because they are really looking for teams to make this tournament. Now, Rutgers is an 18-10 team. Now, what could put them over the top? I know it's at home. It's not a road game. But if they beat Maryland Tuesday night in the RAC, I think that I don't think they have any worries.
That seals the deal. It would seem 19-10. Now the problem for Rutgers is after the last home game of the regular season, there are no more home games for them. There's no more.
But they need to beat somebody on. It would help them though if they beat somebody on the road.
Yeah,
right. That's the issue. The issue is beating somebody on the road. So actually, that's a plus to me, Bob.
Yeah.
That they would play games on the road. Because in terms of games on the road, that's where they need to steal one somewhere. And that would help them. I just want to take a quick look at Jerry's. Both of them have Penn State as a 4, by the way, so I'm not even getting into that.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, Patrick's just down the hall. He doesn't want me to get into that. No, just kidding. Patrick, trust me as to where I go and things. Believe me. Let me just get to Jerry here. Because Jerry was explaining in his column. Again, Joe Lenardi has him at 10. So if it was a 10, you're not even in Dayton. I mean, you're in. He doesn't, though. Jerry doesn't. Now, these are not opinions, guys. These are not opinions. I've tried to point this out many times, that their opinion does not enter into this. It is whether or they're trying to think along with the committee. That's what they're trying to think along with. What does the committee think along the way? And so that's where they're trying to... You know, they're trying to use the same data the committee does. Jerry Palm has Rutgers' first 4 out, but he's got Mississippi State and Cincinnati ahead of them. Now, first 4 out, look, you've got teams in front of you. Let's go back to what he said last week about Indiana. And by the way, I think they both have Indiana still in. Indiana last night lost to Purdue. And who knows what Bruiser Flint and Archie Miller were doing on the sideline last night. They were yelling. They both have Indiana as a 10. Let's see here. He was trying to explain the logic of this. There are certain things that are in here that when you look at it and you start trying to... One thing I don't understand, I really don't understand the components that go into the net. I mean, the net is Penn State at 26. I'm like, really? Okay, you guys say so. But yet everybody, when it comes to brackets, has Penn State as a 4 right now. Now they got Iowa tomorrow, and Iowa's 5 in one bracket and 6 in the other. What the heck is this response he had about Rutgers? Purdue. Purdue is an interesting one, too, because Purdue is actually up there in the net. They won last night. Let's see. What is the number one thing you look for when evaluating teams? Answer for Jerry Pond. There really isn't a number one. I look at all kinds of things. Records versus the quadrants. But also keeping in mind that not all quad one opponents are the same. Strength of schedule, overall and non-conference, performance away from home, and comparing two teams head-to-head and record against common opponents, record versus teams comfortably into or contending for spots in the field. Sometimes I'm just looking for what stands out, good or bad, that varies from team to team. See, Penn State checks all the boxes there. But that's not an issue. We already know Penn State's in. It's just a question of where they're in. But where the heck was his answer about Rutgers? He's doing it here. His bubble watch. There we go, bubble watch. Let's see. He's got Sealands Grove here.
Yep. They're making a late season surge.
Yeah, it's tremendous. He had Shikalimi.
I think he ruled them out on the basis of their play-by-play announcer.
Well, I mean, could you see the suit doing the NCAA tournament?
Only in my worst nightmares,
no,
but
I mean,
other than that.
He'd be something else. Okay, let's see here. But here's the story on Rutgers. Many are Rutgers fans. He said, since the Scarlet Knights are trying to get into the NCAA tournament for the first time since 91, the last team to get an at-large bid with fewer than 3 wins away from home, so I have this right, and that's road or neutral. Okay, neutral counts too, okay?
Sure.
Was Illinois in 1994, which had 2. Rutgers has 1. Now, it's not over for Rutgers. All right? They've got Maryland at home. That would be huge. They still have a game at Purdue. That helps. Now, Rutgers is going to be a team that for Tuesday night is going to be fresh. Because remember, Rutgers was in the unenviable position of playing 16 consecutive games with no break. And they finally get their break this weekend. So they will have an opportunity to get some rest for the first time in a long time. And I've seen this. I've always used that example. 1 year, this was many years ago, Ed DeChellis was the coach. Where Penn State, this is when they were playing an 18-game schedule. But remember, this essentially is an 18-game schedule too. Okay? Because you play the other two in December. So you play 18 straight. Well, 1 year, Penn State, they give you 2 bye weeks. One in the middle of the week, and they give you 1 on a weekend. Okay? 1 year, Penn State had it's middle of the week to start the schedule. And their weekend was at the end of the schedule. They played 18 consecutive games in between.
That'll take the starch out of your legs.
I said to somebody in the Big Ten, I said, what the heck are you? I said, what do you got? The computer. I said, the computer. I said, well, who puts the information into the computer? I said, a human? Well, yeah. I said, well, excuse me, a human being did. I said, you can't sit there and say, hey, wait, this makes no sense. Now, Penn State did not have a good team that year. Right? So did it really matter? No. But you could just watch guys over and over and over just get, as February wore on, get tired. They had no break. Because their break was at the beginning. Oh, and they finally got their second break, and voila, it was at the end. Like, really?
A lot of good that did.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, and I've said the entire time, I know Penn State's playing a lot of consecutive games right now, but that's fine. Everybody does. And, you know, Penn State's schedule this year is really good. Really good. No issue.
It's worked out really well.
And yesterday was a day off. So yesterday was a day off. I can tell you right now, this morning's practice was very short, but very sharp. They had legs today. They had Lamar. I thought Lamar looked refreshed. At least, you know, I was talking with Sandy Barber. Sandy said, you know, Steve, how was he? He said he looked fresh. He said, well, everybody's tired this time of the year, so thus we'll say he was fresher. I said, yes, that's good enough.
Yeah.
She's right.
Well, it's a noon start tomorrow, so they're going to have the early wake-up call.
Well, yeah, and for Iowa, it's an early wake-up call. It's 11 a.m.
I was going to say, yeah, Central time is really when the game is played, so the Iowa clocks will say body clock will be 11 a.m. and Penn State's will be noon.
Right. That's why I always laugh when I hear somebody say to me, "Oh, it's an 11 a.m. game." I said, "What are you talking about? It's 11 a.m. in Iowa City." And I'll say, "It's still noon." It's like, come on.
Yep.
It's like, look, just watch the game. Don't think.
Yeah.
Okay, really. Don't worry about it. Just listen to what we say. We'll do the thinking for you.
That's why we have you and Dick Girardi.
Yeah. So same thing. I had a long talk with Jack yesterday, too. So I went over to football practice the other day, football workout. Went over to that. I found that to be very interesting. Very interesting.
Oh. All right. Going to be fun.
Hey, Henry Ruggs ran a 4.2740, Matt.
That's right.
You know, that equals Matt's fastest time in the diaper change.
I can't even drive the 40 in 4.27.
Matt's on
today's show, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, and News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
So what happens during breaks? Well, it's pretty simple. Like this time I had to call the hotel in Bloomington so they could email me last week's receipt so I could do my expense account because they hadn't emailed it to me yet. So that's what the break was about.
Ah. Paperwork, paperwork, paperwork.
Yeah, plenty of it.
Hey, Steve,
I try to do it every month.
Sure.
So that way I stay ahead of the thing.
Well, you've got an extra day this month to do it, too.
Well, it's also a day that's included in this month. Tomorrow I have to get that. I'll send it.
Yeah. Hey, Steve, could I just mention the passing of a Penn State legend in football?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Dan Radakovich was a great linebacker. And when you mentioned Jack Ham made a great tribute to Dan upon his passing as being the first linebacker at Linebacker U, and then came back and was a coach at Penn State and coached a couple guys that were really good, like Jack Ham and people of that caliber. And Dan, in the twilight of his career, became a volunteer coach at my alma mater, Westminster. And I got to spend a good amount of time with him. An absolutely hilariously funny man with wonderful stories, and he just lived a great life. Just a wonderful man.
Lou Prado wrote a book, and Matt, I'm sorry, but I'm getting echo. I'm getting feedback here on my end.
Okay, I'll see if we can fix that.
Yeah. Dan Radakovich wrote a book, and it was actually Lou Prado that wrote it for him. And Jack wrote the foreword to it. And I talked with Jack yesterday. Jack and I probably talked for about an hour yesterday. But Jack was saying, could you take the echo out? Okay. I'll try this again. No, still there. Okay, I'll just muddle through it then. Jack went to the service for Dan Radakovich. And, of course, I've always known for years what Dan Radakovich meant to Jack because he's talked to me about him often. You know who showed up at the service? Kirk Ferentz.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Coach.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, Kirk is a Western Pennsylvania guy.
Yes, he is.
And he was at the service. And Jack had a long talk with him, and the two of them were talking. Jack said to me, he says, Kirk wants to know, he says, why in God's green earth do we play every year like we're in the same division?
gets tired out there in Iowa losing.
I was just here, obviously, during the fall. Hey, Matt, can you take the echo out? Because I can't.
He's looking at all kinds of things right now to figure that out.
All right. Because I'm talking, then I hear myself talk. It's not the easiest thing on the planet to do.
Yeah.
And I said, I think I told Jack I came up with a theory as to why. And the theory I think as to why is this. It goes back to the old Legends and Leaders Day. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And what they did was they put together all of this research to divide up the divisions to make them as, quote, equal as possible. So Michigan, Michigan State, and Iowa were in one division. Wisconsin, Penn State, and Ohio State were in the other division. And I believe that that's what they were trying to do. So when they went to East and West, I believe there was an attempt to get teams that normally are in the same spot record-wise due to research to play each other on a regular basis. There we go. On a regular basis almost every year. And I think that's the reason. Do you notice how Wisconsin plays Ohio State almost every year?
Seem to every year.
And I think that that had a lot to do with it. I mean, I told him, that's just an educated guess. That's just an educated guess. But yeah, but Kurt Ferentz showed up, Bob. At,
What a
Dan
tribute.
Radakovich's,
the coach at my college.
That's classy.
Yeah, the coach at my college was there.
That's classy.
Yeah, just, I think it was a who's
I still
who.
Have you guys, right? I can't hear anybody now.
Okay. It was a who's who of Western PA football.
Oh, there we go. Well, okay.
Can you hear us now?
No, I couldn't hear you, and now I'm getting all the echo back, so I don't know what's going on. Look, I'll just muddle through the program.
Yes.
Nobody, I'll give you a great story. There was a pro in golf. Bones McKay told this story earlier today on Golf Channel. This is great. There's a pro that goes into the locker room that is not a very popular guy, and he shot an 11. On a hole, and he's whining, moaning, and complaining in the locker room about shooting at 11. And this old pro comes up to him and says, "You know what? Half this locker room could care less that you shot an 11. The other half wishes you shot 12."
Yeah. A man that was very popular among his peers and colleagues.
Oh, my goodness. Well, it's like when we're playing in the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament.
Oh.
And you're on the same team with the suit. Right? Now, we're all out there hoping that the other guy makes the putt, something like that, so we can, you know, get a birdie, move on. The suit gets mad when it's not him. He takes no joy in somebody else sinking the putt. He's got to be the one to do it. If not, the hole's a waste.
Yep, I've seen that play out at the Purdy Invitational.
Yeah, you've seen it. That's the way he is.
Yeah. At least he's stopped breaking most of the clubs in his bag.
I've never seen him throw a club. I never have.
Well, I think he does it when you're not looking. I think he's a secret club breaker on the golf course.
Now, I've told the story years ago. We're going along, we're playing, and I want to say the water hole is 16. If I remember correctly, the water hole is 16. That pond is in front of the green. And it's a kind of hole that if you drive it too far, you know, you could drive it, you could roll it into the pond. So I hit an iron off the tee. Figure, look, we'll just get out there, be safe, then we'll attempt to hit a wedge in. All right. He hit one that was who knows where. All right. So now we're looking for it. So, you know, it's like the three of us are over there helping him look for his ball. Well, I mean, that's what partners do. And finally he looks over at me. He says, "Are you all set?" I said, "Yeah, yeah." He says, "What are you playing?" He said to me, "What are you playing?" I said, "Well, I'm playing the same one I started with. I got this Callaway over here." All right. Then he goes, "Oh, playing the same one you started with." Like, oh, for goodness sakes. I wasn't trying to say anything. I was just saying I was playing the same ball I started the day with. It's still that Callaway. Yeah. I didn't change to a Titleist. I didn't change. You know what I mean? Because you got mongrel balls in your bag. You know? So that's all I was saying.
Yeah.
Right?
Playing with the same ball, Steve, for the suit is a novel concept.
Well, like a dope, I then hit the second shot into the pond.
Oh.
And he says, oh, yeah. He's going. I said, we're on the same team, knucklehead. You should have hoped I hit it 10 feet from the cup. I mean, come on. I sat there with it. I can't believe this.
I don't think he understands the nature of that golf tournament.
He's like, he's the only guy I've ever done this, these tournaments with that you feel like he's competing against you. Like, no. Like, see those four guys over there? Yeah. We're competing against them. Okay. We're not competing in the group. I want the chief to sink the 20-foot putt, pick my ball up, and move.
Exactly.
And then we have to chart shutter shots
and
things like that. And that club's a disaster.
It is.
Yeah. I remember I'm talking to Jack one time. Jack and I were playing golf with Ron, and Ron Moeller was there. And Mike Wagner. Remember Mike Wagner played for the Steelers?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. So Mike Wagner, Jack, Ron Moeller, and I are playing at Chartiers Valley. And so I thought, we'll have a little fun here. I said, hey, I want to ask you guys, have you guys ever heard of a club called a chutter? I was being serious.
Mm-hmm.
And they all looked at me and said, what are you, nuts? Like, every one of them. And Mike looks at me, and Wagner's about, by the way, Mike Wagner, about as intelligent a football mind as there is out there, but also one of the really great guys out there. He looks at me, he says, say that? It's a what? A chutter? Yeah, I said, Mike, it's like, it's part putter, part chipper. It's angled. He said, do they sell that at Walmart? I said, I think. So of course, I tell El Sudaroni the story. Oh, all right, camping. It's the best club on my back. So 2 years ago, we were playing it together in a group. And we took the club out of the bag. And he went to play and goes, oh, my God, I lost it. I said, oh, no, we got it over here.
Yeah, Mike Wagner was a great safety for about 10 or 12 years for the Steelers. And he must still live out in the Pittsburgh area like a lot of former Steelers do.
I want to say Mike worked at somewhere in the corporate structure in PNC Bank.
Yeah.
And then he retired from it a couple of years ago. Oh, he's an awesome guy. You really, really like him a lot. And that's the kind of guy where if you're playing golf, he roots for you. It's really great. It's really fun to work with people like that.
I would say so.
Yeah, it's a blast. You know, when you're sitting there just working with people who like want you to do well, as opposed to, I hope I bury you. We're on the same team. Come on. Let's do this here.
Steve, now, I was reading about the Iowa basketball team. One of their key players, I think, did not play recently.
C.J. Frederick.
Yeah, and it was questioned whether he'd be available for the Hawkeyes tomorrow.
He has an ankle sprain, and that's been the issue. We are assuming, at least on my part, the way I put everything together, I'm assuming he'll play. Now, whether he would start or not, because I've been starting Ryan Kreener, so they'll be going with the two bigs. Frederick is a guard. He played against Penn State in the Palestra. He struggled in that game, then he got hurt in that game, and he missed, the last 12 minutes of the game. He has been, in terms of being an outside shooter, he has been their marksman all season, just like Myron Jones has been for Penn State. Myron Jones is it. I mean, believe it or not, guess who leads the Big Ten in three-point percentage? Myron does. And so that's where you talk about a guy like Frederick. That loosens up the floor. Iowa lost Jordy Bohannon. When they lost Jordy Bohannon, and I would say 35 feet and in would be his range.
Mm-hmm.
That's how good he is. 35 feet and in. They lost him. Now, I didn't think he was going to play this year anyway, Bob, because Jordy had hip surgery in the summertime, and I thought, boy, he won't be able to play. And to that kid's credit, he busted his backside. But he got into 10 games, and it just got worse and worse. He couldn't finish the season. And that's hard because he's just a heck of a player. Really good shooter. Then they also lost Jack Nungi, who's one of their inside guys. So they've had guys that that have been hurt for them, too. And C.J. Frederick is certainly a pivotal guy for them. But there's no doubt who the guy is.
Oh, absolutely.
The guy is Luka Garza. Now, there are so many times over the years I have been able to look at somebody and say, you know what, this guy's going to get better and he's going to be a really good player. When Luka Garza was a freshman, he's a junior now, there is no way on the planet I could have projected he'd be this. No way. I thought when he was a sophomore he'd be a little bit better. I thought when he was a junior he'd be a little bit better. You know, like just, you know, normal progress, which is too often assumed, but is usually happens for a lot of players. Not everybody improves year to year, but many players do because they get older, wiser. You know, they're in the weight room and so forth. Bob, I looked at him. And Dick felt the same way. Dick and I looked at Dick. Says he says, "No way, this guy." He said, "Is this guy? No way." Yet he has busted his backside, and you look at the moves that he makes. He can go left, he can go right, and you know what? He never shifts his pivot foot. I mean, no, he does a great job of maintaining his pivot foot when he plays. Now, he is not a great defensive player. He is not a great defensive player. It's something very few people talk about. He's an okay defensive player. Offensively, though, he's superior, and he can hit threes. And now, he's playing a lot of minutes. Everybody is playing a lot of minutes all over the country. Everybody is. It's that time of the year. Everybody's fighting for their spots, so everybody's playing more minutes than ever. But he's 3 for his last 15 in threes. So when you see that, you're saying, I wonder if he's tired. Now, I'll tell you the other guy that I think is a fabulous basketball player and has really struggled lately, and that is Joe Wieskamp. I am a big Joe Wieskamp guy. I saw Wieskamp play last year, and I said, this guy's going to be really good. And guess what? He came back this year and was better. But he's only 6 of his last 21 from the field. He was passing up shots at Michigan State the other night. Now, they played Tuesday. Maybe having the extra day helps him. And Toussaint, the freshman, makes some good plays for them. In fact, he doesn't make many bad plays. Toussaint's really quick. I mean, he's really quick. You know, but he's also a little deferential. You know, which, you know, if I had Luka Garza and Wieskamp, I'd be a bit deferential too. So we're going to see what happens with C.J. Frederick, because obviously there's some people that think he's still out. There's some people here that think he might play. So we're all in a mystery. We have to take a break, right? Because let's face it, in the end, we've got to pay for Luke Cotrillo's scholarship.
Absolutely.
Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. So Matt goes in. I guess he interrupted a very important suit call.
Yeah. Steve, okay. I was looking at
Let me put it this way. The next important suit call that suit gets will be the first one. All right.
Yes.
So,
Steve, I was wanted to talk with you a little bit about Fran McCaffrey, the coach of the Iowa Hawkeyes.
Fran.
He's a Pennsylvania guy.
Oh, he sure is.
Right out of Philly.
Fran, when it's not basketball, is one of the nicest guys you'd ever want to talk to. When the game starts, he does start getting close to the line.
Very close
to the line. And sometimes goes over the line. He's got a temper. There's no getting around it. And that's, you know, look, I know he fights for his team, but he is so close so often to technical fouls. And I'll say this about Michigan State. I thought he was close the other night, but he didn't get one. And that was a really good officiating crew, by the way. It was a really good officiating crew. So, I mean, that, I think, played into it. I think when you've got – there are a couple – I'll tell you, there's one guy out there that I think is a really good official. But the only thing I don't like about him is I think he gets too, like, okay, don't cross him in any way because he will tee you. I'm not going to get into who it is, but it's somebody I personally like, and somebody that when I see he's officiating the game, I think he is a heck of an official. But that's the only flaw I have with him is that I think he gets... he can hear everything.
Yeah, I think McCaffrey was really close to the line. I watched the Michigan State Iowa game, and he not only pushed the envelope, he licked it and put a stamp on it. He was really close.
No, he was. But that's the way Fran is. Fran's always been like that. And it doesn't mean he's wrong, Bob. Okay,
no.
And I think that's something that has to be. You got to be fair about this. Just because somebody's mad about something doesn't mean they're wrong.
True.
All right? Unless you have that corner office, and I can tell you more often than not, that dude's wrong.
Yes.
All right. Oh, that's unbelievable. It was an important call. We're trying to set up a birthday party for Suit Life. All right. Matt's over there saying, you're not helping me. You're not helping me. All right. By the way, C.J. Frederick, as I mentioned earlier, will be back as expected for Iowa tomorrow. That'll give him a little more jump in their offense from the outside. He's hitting 46% of his threes.
Not a bad
percentage. He's a good shooter.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.